So translation, the Lord Mahavishnu, although lying in the causal ocean, came out of it, and dividing himself as Hiranyagarbha, he entered into each universe and assumed the Virat Rupa with thousands of legs, arms, mouths, heads, etc. We have a very short purport, a one-line purport by Srila Prabhupada. The expansions of the plenary of the planetary systems within each and every universe are situated in different parts of the Virat Rupa, universal form of the Lord, and they are described as follows in purport. Om Gana Tamarandasya Ganandana Salakaya Chakshom Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Jaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vastai Bhutale Shmati Bhakti Vedanta Swam Dinamane Namaste Sarasati Devi Kauravani Pachalane Nivasesha Sunyavani Pashtatana Satanane Jai Shila Prabhupada Ki Jai Hare Krishna. First I'd like to ask permission to be able to speak here in front of such an august assembly of Vaishnavas. I come from a small temple in central London, so this is a big temple in the country with many devotees, so I beg your permission to say a few words here. So this is one of the repeated again and again in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It describes the omnipresence and the omnipotency of the Lord. The Lord is the creator, but he's not only the creator, he is the sustainer. So by his potency, everything is manifest. By his potency, everything remains. And again, by his potency, everything is annihilated at the end. So in that sense, Krishna is omnipresent and he's omnipotent. Everything exists by his potency. And it's interesting, this second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, because Sukadeva Goswami gives a very elaborate description of, for example, Hiranyagarbha and the cosmic manifestation. Yeah. He himself, as we know, he was a Brahmavadi before he became a Vaishnava. And one of the meditations of a Brahmavadi is that they meditate upon the universal system as being supreme. At that stage of Brahmavad, there is no personal appreciation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But they look at the universe not in a material way, they look at it in a spiritual way. They understand to some extent Brahman, the supreme spiritual aspect of creation. But for them, the concept of a personality from which that creation comes from is difficult to understand. And in the beginning of the second canto, because the second canto is when Sukadeva Goswami starts to speak. And before that, he's glorifying, spotlessly hearing and chanting about Krishna. Because yogis and all transcendentalists, their goal is to purify the heart of material attachment. So Sukadeva Goswami directly glorifies Krishna, and then Maharaj Parikshit asks an interesting question, because Maharaj Parikshit, he's a Vaishnava, so he's in assembly where not everyone are Vaishnavas. Yeah. So he's speaking on behalf, for him, Maharaj Parikshit just needs to hear about the name, fame, form, qualities and pastimes of the Supreme Lord himself. But Maharaj Parikshit, being a great devotee, being a great Vaishnava, he's seeing other persons are not ready to grasp this concept. Yeah? Like we may meet many people. They're not willing to grasp or understand God as a person. And it becomes quite interesting when we meet persons of other faiths, say we meet Christians and Muslims, they actually speak in the sense of a person. They speak of a protector, they speak of someone who's overlooking them, they speak of someone to offer their prayers to. But if you question, if you try and take it further, at some point it's going to stop. They're not going to be able to conceive, or they're not going to be able to appreciate the personality himself of Krishna. And actually, you have to be careful if you present the personality of Krishna, especially to, say, Muslims. For them, to even, with all due respect to Muslims, but for them, even to try and speak of God as a person, that means you are making a grave offense. It's one of the gravest offenses you could possibly do. But for us, it's completely, we just can't relate to that, because ultimately Krishna is a person. Yeah? For them, because Avajananti mam mutta manasimtani masyutam paramba mujayananda mama bodha maheshwaram. I remember one time where I met one Muslim on the street, and he wanted me to show him pictures of the Bhagavatam. And guess why? I wanted to show pictures, because he has Krishna. Then he begins to blaspheme Krishna, so I had to disentangle myself quickly. And as he walked off, I remembered this verse, Avajanti mam hutta manasimtam ashratam. Fools deride me when I descend in the human form. Yeah. They do not know my supreme dominion over all that be. Yeah. But so we're very lucky. We've been introduced to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, from practically day one. Yeah. And because we could say, because of the faith and the potency of Srila Prabhupada and his followers, we accept. Yeah. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And even in the Leelamrita, Satsarup Maharaj mentions about the introduction of Jagannath. So if Krishna's difficult to understand as a Supreme Person, what about Lord Jagannath? Yeah. Sometimes when people come to our temple, it's quite easy to describe Krishna to one sense of the word. When it comes to Jagannath, now we've got to try and describe what is the concept of Jagannath. But perhaps it might have been due to their perhaps state of mind at that time, because Satsarup Maharaj mentions quite nicely that Jagannath seemed like some type of psychedelic presentation. But regardless, they accepted. Yeah, Prabhupada, this Swamiji says this is God, so this is God. Yeah. So quite, for that's the potency of a pure devotee. Yeah, for pure devotee, because like when they speak, there is feeling, there is realization in their sound vibration. So it's very powerful. Of course, Prabhupada spoke to many persons who did not accept Krishna. Yeah, and that's their misfortune. But many of those who were innocent did. Yeah. So Maharaj Parikshit, he asked a very interesting question. He asked, what is it that one can meditate upon so all the dirty things in the heart are gone? Yeah, because again, that's the endeavor of any transcendentalist, if they're somewhat bona fide transcendentalists, is that we want to be free of attachment to this world. Yeah, and the dirty things in the heart, lust, anger, greed, etc. These are the things that bind. These are things that keep us in this material world. So for someone who wants to transcend the material world, then anatta nivritti, one has to be free of these things. So that is done, we know, we accept, just by meditating upon Krishna. Vainam kwanantam aravindadaya daksham. Yeah. That's how we become purified. Yeah. But some persons need steps before that. Interesting, you might say this is bridge preaching in one sense in the beginning. To present people who are not ready to accept Krishna, you're going to accept them with a different type of meditation. You're going to explain a different type of meditation. Yeah. And the meditation that then Sukadeva Goswami gives. And again, because he's coming from that background, Gopi Puranadana mentions this. He gives wonderful lectures on the second canto of the Bhagavatam, and he highlights Sukadeva Goswami's background as being a Brahmavadi and absorbed in this conception of the Virat rupa. That's why there's so much detail of the rat rupa here, because that's directly Sukadeva Goswami, that's his background. Yeah. So then Sukadeva Goswami then speaks, then he begins to speak about the Virat Rupa. How to, you could say in one sense it's pantheism, in one sense, not in a complete sense, but in one sense, how to view the world and everything within the world as being ultimately Brahman or ultimately spiritual. How it inspires spiritual thoughts by observing the wonder of the world. Yeah. And I was reading just recently as well, there was this in the 18th century and also in the early 19th century, there was this deists, an aspect of some Christian deviation. Deists, and their concept is that you don't need scripture, you don't need the church, you just need to observe the material world and you can appreciate God. Okay, we don't completely agree with that. But there was that was their idea. Deist, there was no prayer. There was no prayer. You just look at phenomena of the world, and you can understand something great, something fantastic. Yeah. And we can appreciate this also. I'm sure when we go out to the country, like now, I've come out to the country, so I'm appreciating all the greenery. Or the birds singing. The only birds you hear in London is pigeons. So sorry, the pigeons and crows, that's all you hear. So I get lots of nice birds singing. It's very nice. But when we, isn't it when you go to the ocean? Or when you go to, anyone been to the Himalayas? Anyone been to the Himalayas? Not all Vaishnavas that don't go to the Himalayas. I haven't been there much either. But it creates a sense of, wow. Isn't it? A sense of awe. A sense of awe and reverence. Yeah. Or when you go to the ocean, you see the ocean, it's like vast ocean. I mean, a vast ocean. So these things give a sense of our insignificance, which is good for spiritual life. Yeah. So these things beyond us or beyond our comprehension. Yeah, when we look at the universe and we try to understand its source or where it came from, at some point we have to come to the conclusion, I've got no idea. Yeah, at least from the materialistic point of view. Yeah, so Sukadeva Goswami describes in great detail this meditation. And it's interesting because in one place, a couple of purples, in the next purple, and it's alluded to elsewhere as well, that the Virat Rupa, it's a imagination. In a sense that it's a tool for meditation. Although the Virat Rupa exists, but it as being actual God himself, it's just a more of a description to help you appreciate. Yeah, that everything is spiritual and everything is coming from Krishna. Yeah. So, and it's very powerful. It's very powerful. One of the problems for a conditioned soul that unless we connect it to Krishna, we can become very much attracted to it. Yeah. As we look at the material energy and its different manifestations. As conditioned souls, we have a fascination for the material world. Yeah. All its intricacies and how it works. So we have more of a fascination for the material world than perhaps we do for the spiritual world at our present stage. Yeah. We have a fascination, in one sense, because it's Devi Hi Esha, it's actually Krishna's potency. So therefore, we have an interest in it. But our interest is generally a selfish one. Yeah. Because we fail to see Krishna. In one sense, that's why Krishna is pervading everything. So Krishna is everywhere. So it should lead to Krishna consciousness. But for us, when we look at the material energy, we think of our enjoyment. Yeah? Just like when it's very interesting when you hear Prabhupada in his morning walks. You can read and Prabhupada is just meditating on this Virat Rupa, on this manifestation of Krishna's potency, how everything leads to Krishna. Everything is an indication of a person. Everything is an indication of spirituality. Yeah. Prabhupada would look at puddles, birds' nests, rubbish bins, bombs, everything, and he would make a profound connection. Tribhangananda Prabhu was mentioned a personal, he was on a walk with Prabhupada, I think some of you might know this, and Prabhupada's state was in the winter, and it was frozen water on the pavement, and Prabhupada stopped by the frozen, you know, puddle, and he tapped it with his cane. And he looked at his disciples and said, what does this mean? What does this mean? So I think they attempted some answer. Well, it means it's cold, Prabhupada. No, Prabhupada pointed at it and he said, no, this is unnatural. This is the unnatural state of water. The natural state of water is to be fluid. This is the position of the jiva in the material world, in forgetfulness of Krishna. Yeah. It becomes frozen. The heart becomes hard, it becomes frozen. So Prabhupada gave, and you read Prabhupada's morning walks, it's full of Krishna consciousness. Yeah. It's like Prabhupada said, his eyes are salved with the tinge of love. So he's seeing, as a Vaishnava, he's seeing what Sukadev Goswami is explaining and more, but actually Krishna, Prabhupada is appreciating, in one sense, he's appreciating the person behind it. Yeah, just like we may, we may appreciate an artist or we may appreciate a piece of artwork, but there's something special, isn't it? If you're going to meet the artist, isn't it? There's something a little bit. It adds a little bit something extra to the picture if you actually meet the artist. It gives you a better sense, a better appreciation. And then you invest that appreciation in the person. You actually invest that appreciation. Then you appreciate the person for actually creating the piece of artistic work. Yeah. So Prabhupada was just seeing the whole of creation as being, as you would mention, many times, as being Krishna's painting. In one sense, this is Krishna paints all souls, Krishna creates all souls. Yeah. Also, it can go further than that. Where in a Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains different levels of God realization, or different symptoms of God realization, and one of them is, as we know, one is detached from matter, is detached from the material world. Yeah. So whether they see pebbles, stones, or gold, they see it all as the same. They have no specific attraction for the gold. And Surin Mutharu Dashina Matyasta Dweshishu Bando Satadvadeshu. I forgot the last line, but the next verse describes that someone who is still further advanced, they see honest well wishers, affectionate benefactors, the mediators, the neutral well wishers, friends, enemies, the sinful. They see it all with a sense of God consciousness, and they do not make any discrimination. Yeah. So this tendency to look, so we've been explained how to look at the material world, and that's a yukta vairagya. Then we can use the material world in Krishna's service. But also another point here, as we're reading this about the creation, why is creation there? Why is it there? You know, because of us. Because we actually wanted to actually, we turned away from Krishna. That's a deep subject, actually. How, why did we turn away from Krishna? You know, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he gives some little details on this. He explains that is the first symptom is indifferent. One becomes indifferent to the service of the Lord. Like an indifference, then, you know, indifferent means you've got it. You're not quite in the material, you're not quite in the spiritual. So without going too much down that line, it's a big subject, but Bhaktisiddhanta then describes how from that position of being indifferent, one embraces the material energy. Yeah. And so anyway, so the material energy or the material world is created by Krishna. You could say it's created by us. Krishna facilitates us our wayward desire. And interesting, I was reading in some explanation of this that you hear in the Srimad Bhagavatam, interesting in how Lord, the first stop, like we kind of go from when we come to the material world, or we come from the highest and we come down. Yeah? And we come down from subtle thing in the constitution of the jiva due to independence, and then we contemplate activities adverse to the service of the Lord, and then it becomes gross. And the first place you stop at is as a Lord Brahma. So everyone here has been Lord Brahma. You can see Lord Brahma. Nah, well, I wasn't Lord Brahma. Yeah. In one sense, if you think of, in one sense, it may be less, it's inconceivable, but when we think of how many universes there are, there's billions and billions and billions and billions of universes, and in those billions and billions and billions of universes, there's billions and billions of planetary systems. And we hear that a pastime is given in the Majjhima Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, the opulence and sweetness of Krishna, where Brahma, bewilderment, he gets bewildered a couple of times. But when he goes to Dwarka, isn't it? He actually goes to Dwarka to see Krishna. So then he's asked, he's ready, he is Brahma. So then the servant comes back, which Brahma are you? What do you mean, which Brahma am I? Surely it is only one. I am, because he... And he mentions in his prayers to Krishna how he cannot conceive of anything outside the shell of his creation, which he created, being empowered by the Lord. So for him to actually think there's another Brahma, there's another Lord Brahma. And then as we know, the wonderful pastime, then Krishna manifests thousands of Brahmas, you know. And some with, he's got four heads, which means he's in the smallest universe. And again, I haven't seen any artist attempt to draw this, but some of them have a billion heads, or something, million heads. I mean, how that works physically, we can't conceive of it, you know. How it works, someone walks around with a billion heads. But anyway, the point is that there's millions and billions of Brahmas. And interesting, so some Brahmas, like the ones that we were, after creation, they contemplate, he contemplates enjoying that creation, which he has created, yeah. And therefore, then Prabhupada describes that therefore, Lord Brahma, coming from such a fantastic position, ultimately, let's say, with Krishna in the spiritual realm, yeah. And then ultimately Brahma, and then Prabhupada in the purport where he describes about the conditioned soul first takes us the platform of Brahma, then he becomes an ant or worm in stall. God, what a mess we got ourselves into. Yeah, just by contemplating. In one sense, that's what we desired. I remember, I think Pankajanri would explain this point once, that as Krishna as our friend, ultimately Krishna doesn't want us to contemplate and go to the material energy. But if we have to, because he's given us individuality as well, so Krishna cannot just, you know, make us like robots. So this individuality is very interesting. Sometimes then we misuse this individuality. Yeah. Yeah. So therefore, then we come down as we lose our constitutional position. So it goes from subtle. So the example is given sometimes like a step ladder. So like going down, yeah. So now we're trying to come up. Now we're trying to go up, yeah. And it starts again. It started from subtle, and then it went to gross, and now to go back up again to elevate our consciousness. We're going from subtle, yeah, We're trying to understand that I am the eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yeah? And we try and in that way we are learning through the Srimad Bhagavatam. We are learning through Sukadeva Goswami. We are learning through the many narrations in the Srimad Bhagavatam how to actually see the world in a devotional way. Yeah? Rather than see it as an object of our satisfaction or our gratification. And as conditioned souls, unfortunately, that's how we look at this world. Jaya Shishirada Gokula Nandaki Jaya Sitaramakamakamaki Jaya. And it's not easy because the material world is there to tempt us. Yeah? There's so many allurements of Maya. It's to tempt us. Yeah? I always get this feeling. We went to Hungary recently. And everyone, you know, when you go to the airport, it's amazing. Once you get through the ticket barrier, then you're into the, you know, you're into the... And they have these, and when we go in the airport, they have these paths, isn't it? These and made of black marble with diamonds in, and these footpaths go for all the objects of the senses. You know, the duty free department. You know, there isn't a choice. You know, you can't just make a shortcut to your gate. You have to go through this. And it snakes round, it passes all these perfumes and sweets and alcohol and this and clothes, and it takes you on. So I'm thinking that's a bit like spiritual life, you know, a bit like where you have to stay concentrated, you know, just Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, yeah? So sometimes if you go with a group of devotees, if you go with a group of devotees, then you better look behind you and see how many devotees are still behind you. They got deviated into the crisps, the sweets, things like that. You know? So again, the you know this material universe, in one sense, it's attracted. It's Devi Isha Gunamayi Mama Marada Ratyaya. Yeah, it's very powerful. And it's very attractive to the conditioned soul, but there's something that's more attractive, as we know, to the soul, ultimately. Yeah. So the conditioned soul, ultimately, something more attractive, and that's Krishna. His name, his form, his qualities, and his pastimes. Yeah. Now, unfortunately, due to the mess we're in, we may not have a spontaneous attraction for that. Just like when we read Bhagavatam, we read these wonderful verses and prayers of devotees who describe the beauty of Krishna. And they go into exhaustible details. About, I'm reading this poem by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. He's mentioning some parrots in Vrindavan which are glorifying Krishna from top to toe. And it goes in so much detail, Krishna's eyes, Krishna's eyebrows, he's beautiful. It goes about 10 verses just describing how beautiful his nose is. And his ears, and it describes his navel, and it goes... It's obviously attractive to Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. You know, but sometimes when we hear these descriptions of Krishna, oh, it sounds nice, it may not have the same effect. You know, sometimes we're even... asleep, yeah. But ultimately, that's the medicine. Yeah, that's the medicine. The Prabhupada gives the example, isn't it? If you have jaundice, apparently, if you have jaundice, then sweets taste bitter. I've never had jaundice myself, so I don't know, but take word for it. So it means you take glucose, then gradually the actual taste comes back. You know. So that's where ultimately Sukadeva Goswami will describe in a. Krishna is the cause of all causes, but then ultimately he's going to describe the 10th canto, he's going to describe Krishna directly, Krishna's name, form, qualities, and pastimes, yeah? And especially when we come to the level of having some ruchi, some taste for that. Ruchi means it's a place where you go automatically. Yeah? Unfortunately, we have ruchi for material things, so... The places where you go automatically is the things you have a taste for, whether it be material or spiritual. Yeah. But when we When we can make advancement in spiritual life, when we start to get attracted to Krishna's name, yeah, from there, from Krishna, and of course, because he's absolute, yeah, Krishna's name, his fame, qualities, and pastimes are all the same, yeah. So, I think as mentioned, that a natural relish awakened, shanay, but it's gradually step by step, yeah. So then, we can quite quite happily sit down and chant the holy name. And for us, that's the best, that's the better than the nightclub, better than this, better than that, better than attraction to the opposite sex, whatever it may be, attraction to this, attraction to that. This is the, because this, cause actually the soul is again coming again, because the soul is part and parcel of Krishna. So when it begins, so that taste which begins to experience, yeah, that is like a babodachi. It's like it kind of gives life again. Yeah, it gives life again, and then we can start. Also, I wanted to mention this point as well: is that this section or the second canto is based on a question by Maharaj Pariksit, isn't it? He asked Sukadeva Goswami, "What's the duty of someone about to die?" Very relevant question, I guess. What's the duty? Someone about to die, which is, and then Sukadeva Goswami, as the sages at Namasharanya did, they begin to glorify that question. Yeah. So, that question is not so, that type of question is hard to come by today. So, the biggest serious question in general on the people's mind, the biggest, the most existential, deep question that most people ask today is, how much does it cost? How much is on the price tag? That's it. It's all very superficial. How much is the biggest, deepest question you can possibly ask in your existence? How much does that cost? You know? So it's so sad in that sense, because anyway, that indicates modern materialistic society is very superficial. It doesn't ask these deep questions. Yeah, this is a real question from Maharaj Pariksit, and then Sukadeva Goswami is enlivened by that question. And in the beginning, he gives all the verses in Deha Patrakalada, Shu Atmosanyasu Satsu Apinom Pamata Nidanam Pasam Apina Pasati. He gives many verses, which again, Gopi Puranadana is mentioned that as Sukadeva Goswami, that's his background, where he condemns materialistic people very much. He condemns them in a Vaishnava-like way, but he's condemning them out of the compassion. Yeah, they're just bewildered. They're just attracted to the fallible soldiers, and he gives different verses, you know, describe. Because Sukadeva Goswami, I mean, then he describes what is it, and he goes on to describe what is the need of. What's the need of a bed? We just lay down on the floor. What's the need of a pillow? You just use your arms. Now, as Vaishnavas, we don't literally, we don't preach that to everyone. And I'm sure ourselves, we might have a sleeping bag or yoga or mat or bed. And I think most of us have a pillow. Who has a pillow? I have a pillow. And I can't sleep without a pillow. I have to have a pillow. But Sukadeva Goswami says you can just use your arm. So again, that's his background, yeah. Because that's what he did. Yeah, he wouldn't even wear clothes. But the point there. But then he's very enlivened by this question of Maharaj Pariksit, and then Sukadeva Goswami begins to explain. So in essence, this the cause of all causes. And this is mentioned in the beginning of the Bhagavatam. Janma diyasaya tat navayat itadas chetis ubhikana sarat. It described the cause of all causes is actually Krishna. Yeah. So there is no cause beyond him. Yeah. So if we can understand that, we can understand Krishna as being the cause of all causes, then we can Bhakta Yamikatapa Sam Savaloka Meshuram Suranam Sabhutanam Ganatmam something bhuchiti. Then we could be free from all anxiety if we really understand Krishna as being the cause of all causes. Yeah. I'll stop here. Any questions or comments? Or can take this different direction to further. And his points. No, we'll wait a couple of minutes. Yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for the class.
Hare Krishna
Prabhu. I was wondering, like, despite so much reasoning, evidence behind Krishna being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, why does the mind still, you know, not accept it? And
yeah, so despite hearing so much about Krishna being the Supreme Personality of God and hearing so much evidences, why is it, you specifically mentioned the mind, well, generally, as you could say, there's different levels of understanding. One is gyan, and one is vigyan. Yeah, so we need to understand it, and we need to hear it, and that helps us to stay on the path of bhakti. Yeah, helps us to keep us on the path of devotional practice, even though it may not be something which we can, as you mentioned, we may not have realization of or insight to one degree or another. Yeah. So, but actually, if we really look at the arguments given for the existence of Krishna or God as being the cause of all causes, and you weigh it up against the atheistic arguments, you have to come to the position of believing in Krishna or the God. Of course, I say that, I'm a bit biased. Atheists, they might argue against that. But actually, if you really look at the logic and the reason, it's given, exhaustively given in Chaitanya Charita, Srimad Bhagavatam. If you really study it, it's difficult to not come to any other conclusion. But we may be conditioned, we may be carrying some materialistic ideas and thoughts. Again, it's difficult as well in the sense that it's not immediately obvious. It's not immediately obvious. Sometimes atheists, and they refuse to believe in God unless he appears before them. Yeah? Because he's not immediately seen. But if you associate with devotees, actually hear from them, then it doesn't take much. We have to, if you see a picture, if you see a flower, if you see a picture, there's a creator behind it. Yeah. So if you see the picture of this universe, there is a creator behind it. So in essence, you could say that's one way. There's two levels of knowledge, gyan, and then there's vigyan. But if we look deeply into the logic of the cause of all causes, then it makes complete sense. Yeah. So, is that okay? Yes, Harinamananda. Ooh, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Okay, it's working. you mentioned how the Vira Rupa is an imaginative
form.
I was just thinking of these descriptions in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita.
Oh, yeah.
Is that referring to the same Vira Rupa, or is it something real?
Well, that's referring to the Shaktis of the Lord, to the potencies of the Lord. So it's indicating his prowess and his greatness. Yeah. Anything that has any Shakti is actually coming from Krishna. So in that sense, that's also, thank you for bringing that up, because it's a good step-by-step way of appreciating God. I am the light of the sun and the moon. Yeah, I am, what is else, many there? I am the
shark.
Fishes, I am the shark. Yeah, of wielders of weapons, I am Ram. So it gives us, it's helped to give us a sense of the potency of Krishna. Because unless that potency is there, nothing would exist, you know. So he can say, so good day in one sense, it's the same theme, but it's highlighting his potencies and his shaktis and how they manifest in the world. But that also gives us a good, and Prabhupada mentioned that as well, as a good means for becoming God-conscious when you're walking down the high street. When you're going about your materialistic life, you should have these thoughts, you know. Yeah. Okay. Yes, please.
Hare Krishna. In regard of Bishal's question, like Sachinana Swami said, one interesting thing is that to not accept God is due to indifference, he says. So it is a very interesting kind of point that, okay, maybe he's God, maybe he's not, but, you know, who cares? He's there, I'm here. So far, I don't see him. He just kind of, yeah, I exist. I don't deny anyone's existence, you know, but this indifference kind of...
Yeah, what they call it, what's in between atheist and theist? Agnostic, isn't it?
Yeah. It's due to kind of boredom, which in one lecture I heard that this is most pervading consciousness in this material world is kind of boredom.
Yeah.
So due to, yeah, he exists, fine, but, you know, this is him, this is me, I exist, he exists. So the question is, why is that indifference there? So how we can tackle that?
Yeah, when it first...
in God, simply.
Yeah. I mean, perhaps we may have been indifferent to one degree or another. I mean, I definitely was indifferent to the concept of, what the hell? What's the big deal? I mean, what time's the pub open? The biggest question. Because God exists, you know, not. So indifference, you know. And as we mentioned in the beginning, that's where it all began, and indifference. But when we can see the example of a Vaishnava, we can see the example of a person who is a devotee. Perhaps that helps to take us over the platform of indifference to the platform of curiosity. Especially if they happen to know the principles and lifestyle devotees following. And then guys are glowing. You know? Then there's something about those persons, you know, which is attractive. Yeah. So in one sense it highlights the tragedy of the material life. It stupefies the conditioned soul. But they don't care. They don't care whether God exists or not, for most. But Krishna is very expert as well. He kind of ruffles things up. So people start to question, isn't it? They start to pray to God, like different wars are happening, and often whenever different wars happening, you hear more statement, you hear more people become dependent on God. So, and then you've got old age itself and the whole. But anyway, so in answer to that question, so indifference, so we can help to take people from indifference to at least contemplation. Yeah. That's how it can be done. Otherwise, it might be done through, Krishna might do it through the agents of the external energy. You know, a family member dies of cancer or some unforeseen thing they wasn't planning, and all of a sudden, life has been turned upside down. So they're forced to think deeper, you know. And if there's devotees there at that time, then that's wonderful. They can help to guide them, you know. So the cause is stupefaction by material sense gratification, where they don't care.
It just come to my mind, point of Maya's two Shaktis, Avaranatmika
and Prakshamaki.
One potency, one is covering potency, so we kind of cover
care. And then we won't have time, but there's an example of, is it Lord Indra becomes a hog? That whole pastime, he becomes a hog and he's quite comfortable wallowing in the mud. Brahma comes, you have a rise, Indra. He doesn't want to. Because it's just rained the night before and all the mud's sloppy. Pulls one down, covers one over. So to become uncovered, so that's what we're trying to do as devotees, we're trying to uncover, give people Prabhupada's books, that's what we're doing, trying to uncover people, give people books, take the book, please read it, you know, and then they have a chance, you know. But thank you for Hare Krishna, Hare Bhava. Lady side, okay. Sure. Any other last question? Yes, please. Yeah.
I Hare Krishna, Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna.
Just a question. Is it because of the Kali Yuga and living in ignorance, is it more important that we raise the consciousness, awareness first, and then guide them to Krishna? Or is it just a question of...
Simultaneously at the same time. We give them Krishna, that will raise their consciousness. Yeah, we take out Harinam, we preach to them. Some persons you may need to be a little bit roundabout way, if you want. But ultimately we give them Krishna, that will automatically raise their consciousness, you know? Yeah. Hare Krishna. Yes, another question. Come on. Hare Krishna.
Sorry to keep devotees away from breakfast. Just a quick question.
The Mahabharata's just gone, so if you're following it,
I was thinking, in the beginning you mentioned about how Shukadeva Goswami was a Brahmavadi, right? It's a known fact.
Shukadeva Goswami?
Was a Brahmavadi, right?
That's what
you said in the beginning. But my contemplation was, for instance, in the womb, when Prahlad Maharaj, he also heard the Bhagavatam from Narada Muni, recitation. And when he sort of take his birth, he was a devotee. So in comparison, we see that narration of Shiva narrated Bhagavatam to Shuka, to the parrot, that then he entered the mouth of the... I don't exactly remember.
That story enters the mouth, and then it becomes a parrot. Yes. And so, then from the parrot, he flies into...
Into the mouth of the wife of Vyasadeva.
Yeah,
so
that's
my question is, both of them heard Bhagavatam, yet the literal outcome was different. One was a devotee, Prahlad Maharaj. Another one was a Brahmavadi. Some same philosophy, same pastimes, same conclusions, yet the outcome is different. So do you have any points on this one?
Yeah, perhaps anyone can help on that. You have to understand the how it works of Sukadeva Goswami and how he appears and how he manifests, you know. But actually, I don't know, I can say, but it's a very good question. Because Sukadeva Goswami, it's interesting that when he took birth, as we know, he just left. And then he heard these two verses from Bhagavatam glorifying Krishna. So like actually he became attracted. But he was but within the womb, he was not sure. He didn't want to come out of the womb. So I cannot answer that question unless I look at the, the chronology of Sukadeva Goswami. I did read it a little time back, but perhaps you could help us. You could help answer your own question.
I mean, the narration was like that Shiva was speaking to Parvati.
Yeah.
While she was listening, hearing the pastime, she was falling asleep. So Shuka, the parrot, he just was making noise like a parrot, like, yes, I understand. Yes.
So he kept on going,
kept Shiva going. And this was basically a trick by the Shuka. This was the trick just to keep him speaking more on Bhagavatam. And then when Shiva heard it, he was very upset that, first of all, Parvati is sleeping. And second of all, no one should hear this narration because it's very intimate. Therefore, he started chasing this bird. He started chasing Shuka. And then Shuka took shelter in a subtle form within the womb of the wife of Vyasadeva, and then Shukadeva Goswami was born. So, but I don't know where the blessings got lost, or I don't know if it's just a lila or got diminished in such a form that from devotional conclusions to Brahmavadic conclusions.
Brahmavadic devotion. So there's some homework you have to do, some study. You can let us know. You can find out. A very good question. Yeah. If anyone wants to help offer an answer to that. again, Sukadeva Goswami is a Brahmavadi, so birth doesn't make much difference to him. He's just carrying on from one birth to another, Sukadeva. So he comes from a background of Brahmavad. It's there. And along the way, he became attracted to Krishna.
One explanation could be offered in the sense that Shukadeva Goswami is actually birth in the spiritual world of Radharani.
Yeah,
he is actually one of the very close parrots of Radharani. So I would say the answer would be just Leela. Just to show the power that beyond the Brahmavad concept is the Bhagavan concept, which is much more... and anyone can get kind of attracted to it. That would be one.
Yeah, that's a good way to go, especially when we completely understand it must be Leela. It must be... Yeah. There's a Leela in order to prep, yeah. Otherwise, how can you understand? Okay, thank you. Very nice question. Hare Krishna. Okay, we'll stop there. Gantarar, Srimad Bhagavatam, Kijai, Shishi Radha Gokulananda, Kijai, Sitaram Roshamana, Kijai, Shilapava, Kijai, Gaura Premanandi, Hare Krishna.